So this week, sometimes Jesus seems hard to reach. Sometimes Jesus seems hard to reach. And actually, what we're about here at this church, since I arrived, we've been focusing on, we had some retreats and things, and since I arrived, our basic intent, we don't have a ton of programs going on at the church. Some churches, I know one church that had 167 programs going on every week, you know, and they realized, wow, we need to back off of that. So, and we're not there, and our emphasis is this: if we are walking in intimacy with God, He's going to reveal things to us. And out of that intimacy, we'll reveal ministries and programs and things like that. So we don't have a ton of them. Our goal is to walk in intimacy with God and then simply invite others to do the same. To walk in intimacy with God, invite others to do the same. That's really what it's about. That's what I'm striving to do, and I've not arrived. And if there anyone tells you they've arrived and they're in complete intimacy with God, please stay away from them. Stay away from them. They're lying. Scripture says that. You know, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The reality is we're all on a journey. A couple weeks ago, I had a presentation to give to people entering into ministry, and I said from my heart of hearts, I believe the most powerful thing that you have to offer is yourself on a journey of intimacy and simply inviting others to come with you. Inviting others to come with you. And so that's what we're about. And this week, I've only had, many of you know, my advanced degrees and things are on missiology. So I'm not a classically trained pastor. I don't know how to be a pastor, okay? That's a confession. So it is what it is. You get what you get, and so don't throw a fit, okay? So there we are. So I am going, this week, I'm going to actually violate, I've only had like one or two classes in preaching. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to violate most of the rules of preaching this morning. But that's okay, because I think it's based upon this. And by the way, if you're here and you're afraid you're going to fall asleep, there are sermon notes in your worship thing, and they look like this, and you can take them out. And if you like filling in blanks, there's blanks here. And that means that in these sermon notes, when it's blue, underlined, and in that font, it means that there's a blank in your sermon notes, and if you want to take them, and if I miss some of the notes at the very end, upside down and in a square, just like highlights, are all the blanks. So, sometimes Jesus seems hard to reach. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Sometimes it seems like Jesus is hard to reach. And here's what one scripture says, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah. 29:13, he says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." With all of your heart. And even then, sometimes I've sought the Lord with all of my heart, and still sometimes it feels like my prayers are bouncing off the walls. And you want to ever experience that? I know preachers aren't supposed to admit that, but that's a fact. That's reality. Sometimes it's like He is in your presence. He's here and you're overwhelmed and you get God bumps. Those are goosebumps, only you know God gave them to you. So sometimes it's like that. Other times it's not. It's like, where are you? And the step of faith is that you believe in your heart that He is there, because He is here with us even when He doesn't feel like it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the text of the day, which is actually in Mark chapter 2, the first like dozen verses. And here's what I'm violating almost every preaching principle there is. Because here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Trust me, trust the person next to you. They're not going to bite you or pinch you or anything, okay? You can trust the person next to you, right? And if you don't, turn to them right now and threaten them. If you touch me during this silent time, I'm going to whoop up on you, okay? Just tell them that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm just going to read the passage through. And as I begin, I'm going to begin with a prayer, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just speak to you. This is what I do in my devotions every day. Every day, I just get quiet before the Lord, and I read a short passage of Scripture. Holy Spirit, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me? And I read it several times, and I just wait and listen for Him. And He will speak. He will reveal. Maybe not right here and now, but He will. He will. He just will. And I'm going to use that. And here's the danger. Here's why this is not recommended in sermon class. Because, you know, I don't know how many people here, 130, 140 people. The Holy Spirit might take each one of you in a completely different direction that is not where the message is going. Because this passage, you could preach a year of messages out of this one passage. It is just pregnant with so many different messages. So the Holy Spirit could take you all over the place. But here's what I'm saying to you. If the Holy Spirit takes you somewhere, that's okay. And throughout the rest of our time together, if he keeps taking you on that trail, follow that trail, not me. Because I trust the Holy Spirit. You need him more than me. Are you with me? We all need more of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, not more of Jeff. Okay? So I'm just going to read this passage slowly. And however the Holy Spirit leads you and presses upon you, amen, praise the Lord. And that's what I do every day in my devotions. I actually have to ask the Holy Spirit to quiet my heart. I still my heart. And then I read a passage, not a long passage, a short passage. I just read it several times. Holy Spirit, just reveal what you want to reveal. And then I write that down. And then I try and focus on that thought the whole day. Focus on what he gave me the whole day. Those are my devotions. You're probably disappointed. You thought it'd be some complex thing. No, that's it. And then I just focus on that thing and let that thing ruminate on that thing, just like a cow chewing its cud. You know, a cow's got multiple stomachs. It chews it, swallows it, comes back at, chews it again. Well, that's what I do with that thought. I just chew it all day long. And that way the Holy Spirit impacts me all day, all throughout the day. So I'm going to read this passage. It's from the book of Mark. I'm cheating. I already have it marked in my Bible. I don't even have to find it. It's already marked there. So what I'm going to have a brief prayer, and then I'm going to put my glasses on because I'm pretty useless without glasses anymore. So my handy dandy fold up glasses here. Oh, by the way, I do have a tie on today. So one time I'm going to have a tie, another time I'm not. You know, my wife used to lay the clothes out for me every week, and I got no one to do that now. So I am clueless if I am matched, not matched, and I really don't care. You know, and you guys are so kind because only once did someone ever say anything and they said, that's an interesting tie. That was the most any of you have said, that's an interesting tie. which means, bless your heart. Which means, you idiot, you're clashing all over the place and you don't even know it. Okay, so I'm going to have a brief prayer and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to continue to come. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes as I start reading the scripture. And I'm going to read it three times. And just trust the Holy Spirit. If you don't hear, and if you're a visitor and you think this is weird, it is weird. Let me affirm that you're normal, okay? I'm not, all right? If you're a visitor, it's okay. Just, what's that saying again?
You get what you get.
You get what you get. You're going to get what you get. What, and don't throw a fit. That's it, okay? All right? So, here we go. Dear Lord, I'm just asking that you would meet each one of us in a powerful way. This passage, it is so full of truth. Please meet each one of us and whisper to each of us. However you choose. However you choose. Because you're a loving, good Father. And so please meet each one of us right where we are. Just speak to us, reveal, whether it's now or later on, however you choose. But I'm asking that even right now, you would just reveal yourself to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask these things. Amen. And so I'm just going to ask you to keep your eyes closed, and I'm going to read through this passage a couple times. And just listen for how the Holy Spirit might reveal something to you. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat, and the paralyzed man was lying on it. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up, take your mat and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And now please just continue to close your eyes as I read it again. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there, so many there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And one more time. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there, so that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. So men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. They praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. O Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, please continue in this moment of silence. Continue to meet each one of us, however you choose. Whether it's nudging us with some truth or just silence to sit in your presence, we continue waiting on you. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you speak through your word. And if you haven't now in this time, I believe that you will sometime today or tomorrow or the next day. We don't want to put you in a box, but thank you. Thank you for your word. Please continue to open the eyes of each of our hearts that we would see you, that we would hear you. For Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice. And so I thank you in advance for how you are going to continue your work in us for your glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I ask these things and I ask them in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so there is the passage. So I'm going to ask, would anyone willing to share the thought or impression that they got from the Lord as I read through that passage? Anyone? Don't be shy.
Oh, you got a minute?
Short.
Yeah.
Just the thought.
All right, so the first thing that jumped out at me was, which is easier to say, for your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk? Well, you could say either of those things, and it's easy. But on, you know, the authority that you have, or that Jesus has, allowed those to literally pick up their mat and walk.
They don't want to hear you, they want to hear me.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Steve's used to muting
I'm
me.
I'm teasing.
Anyway, you like to hold the mic anyway, so.
That is true.
Yeah. So, you know, I it's obviously easier to say your sins are forgiven, but Jesus was able to go the step farther and say, get up and walk to a paralytic. And that was an incredibly difficult thing by our standards, but not by God's standards, of course. And so I said, on the second run through, I said, what else do you have for me, God? And I started thinking about the Star Wars movie or something, I don't know. But the third time I said, all right, sorry about that, God. The third time, what do you have for me? I really want to know what you have for me. And he reminded me of a time when the youth group went to Life in 2013. And we all had, just like the crowd of people trying to get to Jesus, they had divided up like the 30,000 students that were at Life into five groups. And they, one day, there were, like, people would go serve at a food bank, or another day, like, your group would go hear a guest speaker, and they had a different guest speaker every day. And our day to hear the guest speaker was Francis Chan's day to speak. And Francis Chan is kind of, especially at the time, he's kind of out of the spotlight now, but at the time, he was kind of a big fella he had a lot of books out, and there were a lot of people that were supposed to go do other things at this Life conference who are trying to get in to this little theater to see Francis Chan on our day to see Francis Chan. And so there are all these people with different colored armbands and things like that. And our armband was the right color to go see Francis Chan. So there were people at the gate saying, hey, you can't come in here unless you've got this thing. I said, God, why are you bringing this to me? Why are you showing this to me? And I said, I see a parallel in the behavior. You know, everybody's scrambling to get to the same place. Jesus blessed that, and he said, hey, this guy worked hard to get in here, and I'm going to forgive his sins and allow him to walk again, like cure him. And I said, how is that at all like the people who are standing at the gate were looking at the armbands and saying, hey, you can't come in here right now? He said to me, right now it's super easy to chase me down. There's going to be a day when it's not super easy to chase me down, and the only people that are going to come into my presence are the people with the right colored armbands, or the people that have given their lives to Jesus. So, to that I would say, if you're on the fence, if you have not yet thought of giving your life to Jesus, submitting to his ultimate authority, please do it. Please do it. That's it.
Little sermon there, huh? Can we say thank you? Let me get this back on. I'm not going to go to others, but I believe that multiple other people heard something from the Lord. And that's the way it is. He meets each one of us uniquely because he cares about every one of us. He formed every one of us in the womb. He calls us by name. He is that concerned with us. So I just wanted to use, I think it's so important that we realize that God speaks at different times. He primarily speaks through Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Scriptures. Here's Hebrews Here's another blank in your slides if you're following with those. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, talking about in the days when Jesus was here on earth, he spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So here we go. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets and at many times in various ways. So I want us to just look at some of these different times. Here, Moses. How did God speak to Moses initially? Through a burning bush. Moses out tending his flock, and all of a sudden there's this bush on fire that isn't consumed, which is really important theologically. God doesn't consume us. He fills us. He invigorates. He gives us new life, but he doesn't consume us. We're not consumed by it. We're given life. He sees this. He goes over, and all of a sudden the bush starts talking to him. And the bush says, take your shoes off if you're in holy ground. I mean, and then that initiated the whole thing. So God used a burning bush. Here's one of my favorites. Balaam's donkey. Hey, if he can use Balaam's donkey, he can use me any Sunday, every Sunday. So here's the story. Here's what's going on. There was a king. The Israelites were moving into the promised land, and the king was terrified that they were going to come and conquer him and all that kind of stuff. And so he went to a prophet named Balaam, and Balaam, come and speak a curse on these people. And Balaam said, I really can't do that. Initially, he resisted, but then he gave in because the king gave him a whole bunch of money and stuff. And so he's on his way to pronounce this curse over, and Balaam's donkey, the donkey he's riding on, sees the angel of the Lord and lays down. And so Balaam starts, or however you say his name, he started beating the donkey. Have you ever had a horse or something lie down on you when you need to get somewhere? I have. So he's beating the donkey, and all of a sudden the donkey talks to him. Why are you beating me? I've been faithful to you. What's wrong with you? And then Balaam's eyes are open and he sees the angel of the Lord. So God can speak through a donkey. He does every Sunday here. Okay, here's another story. I'm just gathering some from the Old Testament. Elijah. This is one that just, it astounds me. Elijah just conquered, there was Carmel, and he has this great victory. Great victory. Calls down fire from heaven. It laps up everything. It proves that God is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the big kahuna. And then Elijah hears that the king's wife is ticked off, and he runs like a little sissy. My dad would call me Jessica whenever I acted that way. So here Elijah runs away. He hides in this cave. He's hiding. Jessica, no, that's no bearing on your name, Jessica. That's just what my dad called me, okay? If there's any Jessicas here, that's a beautiful name. That's just Jeff and Jessica were close, so that's what I was called whenever I was whining or complaining or acting like a sissy. So here he is. Here's this great prophet hiding in the cave. And then God, there's this earthquake. There's mountains. There's wind. There's all this stuff. And God doesn't talk. And then all of a sudden, after all of an earthquake, wind, at the mouth of the cave, God whispers to him. What are you doing here, dude? Literally, look it up. That's what he says. What are you doing here, dude? Why are you here? And then he whines and complains. But it's in a gentle whisper, just a gentle whisper. And then on another occasion in Daniel 5, there's these kings that are throwing this big banquet and celebrating how great and mighty they are and all this stuff. And God shows up with a finger writing on the wall. Remember the story? God used a finger writing on the wall to speak to these guys. And Daniel had to tell him. And then in Joel chapter 2, he says, dreams and visions. Dreams and visions are going to be the norm. In fact, here's what it says. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. God can do anything he wants. He can speak in an audible voice. He can use a donkey. He can write on the wall. He can give you a dream. He can give you a vision. I've had those things. I haven't had the writing on the wall. Lynette may have written on the wall once or twice in the mirror. Now back to Hebrews. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. So now just back to Hebrews. So God can speak any way he wants. And that's what I wanted you to experience in that time of me just reading the scriptures. God can meet each one of us uniquely in his time, in his way, and take us in all kinds of different directions, each one of us, because he loves each one of us individually. So he's going to speak to each one of us uniquely. You know, have you ever been dope slapped by God? I have, because I needed it. He won't do that to you because you guys are too sensitive. Me, a thick-headed, slow in the uptake kind of guy, he dope slaps me once in a while. That's because he loves me, and he's going to meet each one of us uniquely. You guys are supposed to at least smile at that. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. And here's just some of the passages. And here's what the Holy Spirit will do. He's going to teach. He's going to instruct. He's going to bring to your remembrance. He's going to empower you. He's going to do all of these wonderful things. That's what's been promised. Jesus promised. He said, it's good that I go to the Father because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Because he will be in you. He will lead you, guide you, empower you, convict you. He'll do all of these wonderful things. This week. If it's green like that, that means it didn't make it into the notes. So this week, last Sunday, I started reading this text. I'm like, okay, Lord, what's your message? Every week, I don't want to preach a sermon. I want to hear his message. Okay, that's my deal with him. I don't want to preach another sermon in my life. I just want to hear his message, walk with him in as he continues to give it to me all week, and then he delivers it through me. That's my goal every week. So when it's good, it's him. When it's bad, I took control. Someone smile. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. So here I am, Sunday. I'm reading and just waiting in his presence, and there's like nothingness. Sunday. Monday, reading, nothingness. Tuesday, reading, nothingness. Wednesday morning, nothingness. I'm like, Lord, Sundays are coming. So I have a deal with some ladies up at the bank. They keep me out of financial trouble, and I give them candy. So Monday afternoon, I knew it was about time. Like once a month, I buy them a bag of candy. You know, it's bribery, but they smile and take it, and they say, we'll watch out for you. We won't let you do anything really stupid. You know, overdraft and all that kind of stuff. They've set it up so that if I overdraft this, it goes from this and all that. So I take them candy. I'm sitting at the main intersection in town on my way to Walmart to buy candy. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit tells me what the message is. Isn't that cool? And he said, through life experience, I feel like a prophet. You know, what the Lord put some of the prophets through, he literally made them living examples. Ezekiel had to sleep on one side for like a year. Ezekiel had to cut his head. Ezekiel had to cook with dung. I mean, it was a life example. I felt like that this week because I'm pleading, please reveal to me. Please show me your will. And as I read it, all these thoughts come through my mind. Oh, it might be that, 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 might be all that. And then sitting in my truck, at the red light, on my way to Walmart, he says, sometimes it's hard to get to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm in Walmart grinning from ear to ear, and they're wondering, what's wrong with this guy? Is he stealing something or what? Because he's grinning ear to ear. I'm grinning ear to ear. Because I heard him. It wasn't in my time. It was in his time. We can't put God in a box. I try and control things. I try and put him in a box. That's why I said, he may have spoken to you. He may whisper something to you later today, tomorrow, on Wednesday, on your way to Walmart. Who knows? But he will because he loves you. So this week, and let me just take this a little bit further. I think I have it later on in the message, but you know, the house was so full that some people couldn't get in. There were some religious people in there that were keeping others from coming in. Sometimes religious people stand, but sometimes we stand between the Lord and other people, and we're a stumbling block to them. So if you're here today and you're struggling with me or someone else or some other leader in the church, hey, there's nothing new about that. But did these guys let that stop them from getting to Jesus? Please don't let anyone stop you from getting to Jesus. In faith, these guys decided, hey, we'll dig a hole in the roof if need be. We'll dig a hole in the roof. Because there were religious leaders in there taking up room. If this isn't making sense, ask me afterward and I'll try and explain it better. But the reality is, the churches, sometimes I've heard, oh, I've been in ministry a long time, all the churches is full of hypocrites. Well, actually, Jesus said it was the sick that I came for. So you're going to find sick people in church. You're going to find more sick people in the hospital or at the Lions Club. Huh? You're going to find more sick people at the hospital. You're going to find more sick people in church because it's the sick that need a doctor. If you're not convinced by the end of this message, let me just tell you, I'm as sick as anyone. You know, the Pharisees, Jesus said, he said that literally to them, I've come for the sick, not for the healthy. And the Pharisees literally just turned, well, I'm not sick, I don't need Jesus. Now, again, this is in my mind. If I were there, I hope, I would have turned to Jesus and said, I'm sick, I need you. I hope. But I'd probably been so hard-headed, I'd have followed the Pharisees somewhere. Probably the 88 for lunch or something, I don't know. 88 is a fine place to eat lunch. I just want to make sure everyone's awake here. That's all. So I'm just telling you, God can reveal himself anywhere, any place. In fact, the place you think you might find him, you may not. He might be hard to find. You may need to try harder. Or just go do other stuff, like go buy candy for the ladies at the bank, and he'll show up. He will show up. He will show up. He will. I promise you. Because he loves you. He loves you, and he will show up. And Scripture promises, and in Joel, here's what Joel says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because he's a loving Abba Father. He loves us. And Jeremiah, again, I already read this one time. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Were those boys with all their heart digging a hole? Now, I can't imagine tearing someone's roof up. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine being the homeowner and someone's ripping through my roof. And I put roofs on. When you start fooling around, all kinds of dirt and stuff falls down. Can you imagine how ticked off the people inside were? Now, my mind's crazy. I run through all that kind of stuff. Yeah, those four guys were happy, but I guarantee that homeowner wasn't happy. And the people inside weren't happy. All the noise of digging and then all the dirt that was falling down. I think Jesus knew it already. I think the Father let him know before him, but I could be wrong. Could be wrong. And here, calling on the Lord basically means this. This is all it means. When you call on the Lord, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is all it means. When I say call on the name of the Lord, it means admit I'm a sinner. Admit I'm a sinner. And by sin, what do I mean by that? There's sins of commission to actually do something wrong. If I punch Doug right now, I would be sinning against him. If Doug were standing on a cliff and about to fall over into the Grand Canyon and I didn't grab him and pull him back, that would be a sin of omission. If I just said, hey, sorry, Charlie, goodbye. Nice knowing you, dude. Happy landings. Hey, I'm the only dad that I know of that lost my kids at the rim of the Grand Canyon at night. I did that to make every other parent feel good about themselves. Lynette did not buy that line. Admit I'm a sinner. And then Jesus said, your thoughts. If you look at a woman and you lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart, so your thoughts can be. Just imagine that. Imagine that. The things we actually do are wrong. The right things that we don't do are wrong. And our thought life. I don't know about you, but I can't make it a day without sinning. In one of those, who here on the way stopped totally and counted 3 seconds at the stop sign? I want to see who's honest. Good, no one's got their hand up. You stopped all the way and waited 3 seconds at every stop sign? You're amazing. Not me. She took it back. Dorsey gave me a good illustration, and I'll mess it up, I'm sure. So this guy gets a guy and starts just wailing on his head, beating on his head, and then he slows down. And the guy's begging, please stop, please stop. Do you want me to slow down or just stop? See what I'm talking about? The stopping at a red light or stopping at a stop signs. We all stop at red lights. Stop at a stop sign. If you didn't stop at a stop sign, you missed it already. Sorry, you've already sinned. The wages of sin is death, Scripture teaches us. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God, and it's a gift so that no one can boast. I can't be proud about it. I just received it. I'm putting my trust in Jesus Christ alone. So I admit I'm a sinner. B, believers, just believe that Jesus, I'm putting my trust in Jesus. Jesus, you died in my place. You died on a cross, similar to that cross. You died in my place. You paid a sin debt that I couldn't pay. You didn't know it, but you laid your life down. That's all it means. And then finally, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, confess the Lord. And that's just tell people that, hey, I put my trust in Jesus. I'm a believer. I put my trust in Jesus. That's all it is. Admit I'm a sinner. Put your trust in Jesus. Because in a little bit, we're gonna remember communion. And communion is simply remembering Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and that he's coming back again someday. And if you do not know him personally, this is meaningless. But if you know him personally, if you put your trust in Jesus, and today, if you don't know him, today is a great day to know Jesus, to pray and ask Jesus into your heart. Today is a great day. Scripture says today is a day of salvation because none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. As I do one of those Hollywood stops going to my house for lunch today, I could get hit by a tractor trailer. Who knows? I mean, I think today's a good day to go home, too. I'm not suicidal, but today's a good day to go home. I'm up for it whenever it happens. So, and Jeremiah again says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. So what are we talking about when we say that? We're saying, simply admit you're a sinner. I've missed the mark. Please help me, Lord Jesus. I want to put my trust in you. See, when I was asked that question a long, long time ago, and I was in this training, it was called Evangelism Explosion EE, there was these questions that they'd ask. So, suppose you were to die tonight and you were to go and stand before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, I'm a good guy. I try and be a good husband. I try and be a good dad. I try and be a good son. Good brother? Not so much. But a good son? Please smile. Are you guys with me here? It was I. And then the trainer said, you know what, Jeff? You're in the God business. You're trying to save yourself. And you're not doing a very good job of it. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is the only one that was sinless. And he died in your place. And he's offering it to you as a gift. Now, if you go out and wash my truck, I'll pay you $10. Because I didn't wash it this week. you'll do it. You're up for it. And then I say it was a free gift. Then you tell me it was a free gift, but I paid for it. Is it a free gift anymore? No. Salvation is a free gift. No strings attached. It's a free gift that we receive. And because it's free, I can't boast about it. I can't boast about it because it was free. The Pharisees got that all wrong. They were so proud of how righteous they were and the good things that they did and all that kind of stuff. They were proud. They were trusting in their good works. And the Apostle Paul says, I count all of that stuff in my past rubbish. Everything that I tried to do to earn my salvation is rubbish because I put all my trust in Jesus Christ alone. And so this morning, do you know Jesus? Have you put your trust in Jesus? Before we partake of communion, because the scripture says, please examine yourself to see. Because if you have known sin in your life, or you don't know Jesus at all, then this isn't for you. We do not practice closed communion here in this church. And closed communion means you have to be a member of the church in order to partake of communion. We don't believe in that. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could be visiting from anywhere. If you know Jesus, we invite you to come, participate. Because we believe that if the requirement to partake of communion to remember and celebrate what Jesus did is to know Him, that He's your Savior. That's the only requirement. And then Jesus, through the scriptures, warns through the Apostle Paul, examine yourself to see if there's any sin in your life. And as we're preparing for it, I just encourage every believer to just pray and ask Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life that you want me to deal with? And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, Jesus is only a prayer away. If you do not know Him, He's a prayer away. Or in partaking of communion, if there's something in your life, if you have some sin that's a nagging sin, just ask forgiveness. That's what the scripture teaches. And so, the scripture says that the night in which our Lord was betrayed, He took bread. And by the way, I'm skipping over a whole bunch of blanks, so please don't bombard me afterward. You missed a blank, you missed a blank, you missed a blank. Tell you what, they're right there. All the blanks are right there, okay? All the blanks are right there. This week, God had me wait to Wednesday, sitting at Walmart before He revealed His message. But He did reveal Himself. He'll reveal Himself to us in His time, in His way, when we seek Him with all of our heart. And I know I violated principles of preaching this morning because some of you are probably thinking the tangent the Holy Spirit led you on. And I'm like, follow Him, not me. But now's the time, let's come back together. Because He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Now is a wonderful time for us to just seek Him with all of our hearts. Because this table is a table of remembering what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died in our place. There's nothing magical about the elements. There's nothing magical about the bread, nothing magical about the grape juice. Probably Welsh's grape juice, just to let you know. Nothing magical. It's just, it's a time for us to remember and thank Jesus for what He's done. To remember that He died, but also He's coming back again. He's coming to get us. We are His bride. You are His beloved. He loves you with an everlasting love. And that's what this is about, just remembering Him. And even if just today you prayed to receive Him just today, please join us with communion because the only requirement is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Any amens? So Scripture says, and we can have our, we're going to worship through singing here in just a moment. I'm going to have a prayer, closing prayer. I'm just going to ask God to bless this. Bless the cup, bless the bread, and bless us and reveal anything that might be in our hearts. And then we're going to stand and we're going to worship the Lord together. And as we're singing toward the end of the song, if the elders would come forward, and then we're going to celebrate communion together. And then after communion, if you'd like to be anointed with oil. Scripture says if there's any sick, let them come. So we're going to have a closing prayer. We're going to worship through song and prepare our hearts to enter right into the presence of the Lord. He's been preparing our hearts, but he's going to further prepare our hearts through song. And we're going to just worship him through remembrance. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this passage that reminds us that sometimes it feels hard to get through to you. Sometimes it feels like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, yet we believe. And I actually thank you for not revealing the message on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday morning, but waiting till I was sitting at that red light on the way to Walmart and you revealed the message. Thank you. Thank you for a living example, a life illustration of sometimes it feels hard to get to you, but you are there. And I pray that during this time of communion, this time of remembrance, that you would make yourself so known to each one of us here, that this would just be a special, special time of intimacy with you. May we encounter you in wonderful, in powerful, in intimate ways, each one of us uniquely as we meet with you. And yes, Holy Spirit, if there's anything in my life, anything in our lives, please whisper to us, so that we can confess it and forsake it. And nothing would stand in the way of this time of intimacy with you, Lord Jesus. Please draw us to yourself as only you can. Draw us through this time of singing and worship. Draw us through communion. We would just experience you in wonderful ways. Abba, Father, I pray this directly to you. And I pray it in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus.